5 years are very near since AC Milan were last in Ireland, and as hard as it is to believe, the Milanese are in Dublin on Thursday. Season 4, episode 20 of LOI Weekly is going to be mainly dedicated to Shamrock Rovers versus AC Milan in the Europa League, and I headed along to Tala today, Tuesday, to get the words of Stephen Bradley, Graeme Burke and Jack Byrne. Dan, meanwhile, was at the Dundalk Shelburne game at the weekend, after which he spoke to Filippo Giovagnoli. And of course, it's a big week for Dundalk as well on their travels off to Andorra, as they bid to get their season back on track in the Europa League. But mainly, not surprisingly, we are going to talk Milan here. We're going to also listen to Mark Doyle, an old buddy of mine from Setanta back in the days when Setanta was Setanta before it became Air, and he's now living in Italy actually for some time. He's working for Goal Italia, so he's got a good angle into what's going on in Italian football. Thanks to our sponsors, Lotto Land, backing up this show. You'll find all their bets, special bets and odds for the rest of the Premier Division season, lottoland.ie/sportsbook. Make sure you stay tuned as well. We're going to give out some specials for the LOI during the show. And we're on Podcast Republic, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, on Twitter. You'll find us at LOI Weekly in association with Air Sport and Independent.ie. First of all, hello to Dan, who is down in the southwest of the country on a staycation of sorts. Dan, you're calling in from Kenmare, I believe.
Yeah, it's almost like an element of role reversal this week, Johnny, whereas like normally like I'm at the press conferences doing like the journalism, asking questions of people, and you're sort of like, you know, sort of prancing around the country posting photos of beaches. And we managed to sort of mix it up this time around. So you're actually at the gig today talking to the people involved and stuff. And I've just been done the carry for the last couple of days. It's a part of the world you know a lot better than I do.
The weather you're getting for September is off the charts.
Well, it hasn't actually been as good here as I don't think it has been in Dublin, but still, like, not bad. And, I'm not a part of the world I said I know hugely well, but you see everything through football eyes sometimes. I know there will be, like, a Gary O'Neill involvement in the game on Thursday, but, like, you know, Kerry is obviously so sprawling. Like, you know, sort of, you can see how the parish system of, like, GAA sort of, you know, works so well. And I know there was a bit of chat even involving, I didn't get around to asking John Caulfield about it, but there was definitely some chat over the summer that maybe like a team in Kerry and Caulfield been involved. And I know there's obviously still a very strong junior football scene in Kerry and Tralee. And but I was just actually having this chat with someone else there about, like, you know, where, if you had a team in Kerry, like, where would you base it? How would you get identities, you know, an identity for it? Would you nearly have to move the games from one place to the other, because the distances in some respects are quite big, even, or just, you know, between various parts of the county. So anyway, it's a slight aside, but I'm sort of a small bit removed from it, but I know you are. I will be back for the game on Thursday though, and it is like a proper occasion to savour. I say that, but then I'm also conscious, and we have to be conscious of it as well, as like two of the very, very lucky people who actually have accreditation, and we can go and we can be there, you know, experiencing a game that, like, you know, people who pay their money every week to follow Rovers up and down the country won't be able to experience. So we sort of have to be careful of the smug factor on that, because it's definitely it's a massive thing for people to be missing out on.
That's I was thinking that today. If I could give up my accreditation to Shamrock Rovers fan, I'd absolutely do it in a heartbeat. It's not the end of the world for someone like me to miss a Shamrock Rovers Milan game. At the same time, when I was there today in the most gorgeous autumnal weather, Tala looking extremely well, Graeme Burke really intrigued by the fact that they changed the advertising so that they have the sliding advertisements around the pitch. The pitch just looked absolutely amazing, and I did feel privileged that I was going to be there on Thursday. And it was strange for me being there. I have to say, I was thinking of exactly what you spoke about there. I rarely, if ever, go to these things anymore. I cycled there, and I was in an absolute lather of sweat when I got there. It was so hot. So I had to just lie on the grass outside for about 20 minutes, during which time Stephen Bradley spotted me and he said, "Was that you who cycled in?" And he admitted that he's gotten big into cycling. So we were talking about that just before he came on. Myself and Glenn Cronin, apparently, they go out and cycle together and all that. But I looked like a bit of a disgrace. I remember commenting on the fact that you looked a bit flushed after the football last week. Well, I was just lucky this wasn't a video, because I was lathered in sweat. It was very, very warm, but boy, would it get you in the mood for the game on Thursday. And I'm really looking forward to it now, I have to say.
Yeah, no, it is. Like, it is. I mean, sometimes, like, I suppose on the League of Ireland beat, like, it's very much we're in our own world and we obviously love it, but we also want it, you know, you want to be around these events that sort of have a mass interest. And there is no doubt that on Thursday, you know, this can be televised, and the caliber of who's involved, it will be like an event that people will talk about, and particularly like if they do well, it'll just take off and become a discussion around it. And I can understand why, for all the Rovers players, no matter how sort of professional they are, and they're all, you know, they in many respects, like, that's probably quite a streetwise team who've seen a lot of things, you know, and I don't think they'd be prone to sort of getting overexcited by things. But at the same time, I know there's probably still a natural element there of, you know, when they sit down to do their preparation or any preparation they've done this week, or, you know, shape or whatever it is that they've done, you know, they're sort of hypothesizing about how you deal with Zlatan and stuff like that. That's obviously, you know, that's obviously a massive thrill for them. And you know, I still have a feeling that I actually have this feeling that they will equip themselves quite well. It's just the definition of what well actually is one that we can debate. But it's funny, my colleague in the Indo, David Kelly, was looking back on the history of Irish teams with Irish games, you know, Irish fixtures against Italian clubs. And look, there hasn't been many. I think it's just half a dozen ties. You know, the last one, again, very familiar to a lot of people around this one, you know, in the sense of the Juve game. But then you have to sort of head back into history. And, you know, that the number of times when Trapp was here, we spoke about Milan and going to Athlone, and, you know, the wading through the crap, sort of getting off the bus. You know, Trapp used to tell this story about how he got a boat to the game, which didn't really make much sense given Athlone is, you know, in the Midlands. So obviously, I mean, there could have been, I don't know, did he get a boat ride at some stage on the trip? Because I know, then the Shannon Cruise, I'm not sure if that was their mode of transport, you know, in which case, you know, the locals really pulled it off in terms of selling them a pup. But I suppose these are the events that, while you won't have the crowd there, maybe the surreal backdrop of the crowd not being there becomes the photo this time that people are looking back on in 20 years' time. Or, you know, if some people do decide to pole vault up a wall like they did the last time, you know, that becomes the iconic photograph of this trip, as opposed to, you know, what you would like it to be. And we should see. But I think for Rovers as well, I mean, you know, they're probably coming into it in a good place, probably, I think, anyway, having won in Cork, Bowes dropping points at the weekend, that, you know, it's not like they've dropped points in the league last week and they've got sort of, they're under pressure at home. I mean, they still are under massive pressure to finish the job, but they have that little bit. I can understand why they might be in that bit of headspace where it's not like, you know, that must have been a great buzz for them to really get that Cork game out of the way, win well. They have a nice little gap there and they can actually really savour this week rather than even have the stress about, like, even the Waterford game hanging off the back of it, because there's a lot riding on winning the league for that club. And this year, you know, there's no disputing that. We've touched on it in previous weeks. That is the number one priority. But I think the fact that they've got it, they're in a reasonably good spot means that they can probably enjoy this a bit too. And I think that's actually probably a healthy thing in terms of their prospects as well.
Yeah, it was encouraging also, I think, that there was a general team of, whilst respecting the fact that they're hugely up against it against a team of Milan's calibre, even if Milan aren't what they were and Italian football isn't what it was, and we can debate that later on or whatever, but there was no real feeling of Rovers going out there to make up the numbers or to be inferior. And that was something that I spoke to Stephen Bradley about earlier today.
We're 2 days away, Stephen. What's the vibe? AC Milan, it's kind of hard to get your head around in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, look, everyone's excited. It's a great game. They're football royalty, aren't they? And we're welcome to Tala. It's fantastic. The only down is we won't have our fans in to see it. But other than that, it's a fantastic game to look forward to.
I suppose the fans aren't here, but the TV audience is going to be huge, and it's going to be so much in terms of people's interest in Ireland and abroad watching this.
Yeah, exactly. I think there's, when AC Milan come to town, there's always going to be massive interest with what they bring, their history and the players they have. But like I said, it's just a shame that we can't get our fans in. They're the ones that show up every week, travel up and down the country and pay their hard-earned money to watch it. And it's for nights like Thursday night that they get their award, but unfortunately, they can't match it.
How much are you enjoying the matches in Europe as a manager?
I love them because it's a total different aspect. Obviously, when week to week, we have a fair idea of what you're coming up against. Doesn't change too much. But Europe's a totally different setup, different systems. Tactically, it's totally different. It's fresh. It's faster. So you have to be really on your game. And it's a great challenge for us as staff and as players.
What do you know about the Milan manager?
We've done, obviously, our research. And we know that since they've the players really like him, we've seen a lot of the stuff. I know there's a bit of trouble at the start of the season, but a lot of the players came out in support of him and publicly supported him. So he's obviously really good at what he does, and they're very fond of him. So look, you don't manage AC Milan being a bad manager. He's obviously a very, very good manager, and it's going to be great to pit our wits against him.
Do you think you have a chance?
Yeah, I think we have a chance in any game we play. I think we have players in the team that can score goals from nothing, and with that you always have a chance in the game. It's going to be extremely difficult, we know that. They're a good side, but I genuinely believe that we've got the players to cause any team's problems.
Are you playing well going into the game, do you think? Beat Cork obviously the weekend.
Yeah, I think we are. I think aside from the Cork result, I think we've been playing well. We maybe didn't take our chances in the weeks before that put the gloss on it, but I think some of them performances have been excellent. Pat's away was really dominant. Shell's here was really dominant. So I think the performances have been good. But like I said, this is a totally different level, totally different team we're up against, world-class players. So we know there's going to be long periods in the game where we mightn't have the ball, but we've got to stay switched on, make sure we're tactically right, and when we get the ball, trust what we do and go and hurt them.
Did you put together a team that could compete in games like this?
Yeah, I believe we have a team that is suited to Europe. I think tactically the players are clever, and the football IQ is good, but technically they're really, really brave and comfortable on the ball, and I think that's really important when you step up, that you have to be able to make a few passes to kill the press, and I think we've got the team and the players to do that. Like I said, I genuinely believe this team can cause any team problems going forward.
How are you set up for playing against a team that you expect? Obviously, we'll have a lot of the ball, because Rovers normally have most of the ball week in, week out.
Yeah, we just have to respect that and make sure tactically we're right. We've worked on it this morning, we'll work on it again tomorrow morning. And we give them the respect they deserve for such a good team. But like I said, we'll set up and make sure that we're right defensively, but we've also got to make sure that we're right offensively, because I believe we can cause them problems.
Are they a good bunch in terms of keeping the lid on kind of the hype that this game is inevitably going to generate?
They're excellent. I think people have been outside of our group have been making a big thing of this game for weeks, but genuinely the group haven't wavered at all, you know. They've been just concentrating on the next game, and to be fair, that comes from the dressing room, that comes from your captains and our leadership group, that comes from them, and they've been great at just concentrating on the next game. Now this game is here, it's obviously full focus on this, and we can go and enjoy it, but it's been really easy to keep the focus away from this game.
You're buzzing for it.
Yeah, delighted, can't wait. This is what you want. You want to challenge yourself against the best, and it don't come much bigger than AC Milan.
This episode of LOI Weekly is brought to you by Lottoland, where you'll find all the odds and weekly special bets for the SSC or Tricity Premier Division European Qualifiers and English Premier League. Don't forget to use Lottoland's ACA Boost, where you get any 5+ fold accumulator winnings boosted by 10% up to 5 grand. Visit lottoland.ie/accumulator boost.
Yeah, the one thing that struck me listening to that, Johnny, was, I mean, even just your question to him towards the end about just how is he looking forward to it. And I there's no doubt that, like, the for the coaches here, there's obviously a great sort of thrill in just preparing for something different. You know, week in, week out now, I guess the Rovers lads, to some degree, they have an element of what's coming every week. You know, they know the strengths and the opponent, you know, the weaknesses of the opposition. Rovers have even had to face this new challenge in recent weeks. You know, teams are sort of sitting in against them completely. And I just imagine, and I think anyone in any walk of life, like, you know, sometimes, you know, the change can be very refreshing. And I'm sure even just, you know, the actual getting into the clips of Milan and looking at them playing and trying to find weaknesses or whatever. Look, I mean, there's possibly a surreal aspect to some of it, but I think, you know, it must be something where as well, like, I mean, it puts management in the shop window too. You know that if they do something, you know, noteworthy, there will be massive, you know, attention of, well, hang on, who's this young manager that's masterminded this? You know, and these are big games for players. You know, they're big game for other people as well too. Like I'm sure there's a lot of people, like Stephen Bradley was a wonder kid at Arsenal in his teens, you know, then sort of, you know, he worked the circuit a bit, you know, he was up in Scotland or whatever before coming home. I'm sure there's a lot of ex-teammates and people of his who, I'm sure they know what he's doing. You know, but some maybe wouldn't necessarily know, you know, and even Stephen McPhail and various people around the place, that it's the type of game where I think people in the UK or whatever will just tune into it and go, oh, that's where he is, you know, and that's you kind of can't underestimate, like, you know, there's a big buzz for them as well too, and no more so as well than the two players you also spoke to with Graham Burke and Jack, that, you know, they've have a certain profile, they've played for Ireland, but people don't know that they don't get a handle on what they're doing really on a weekly basis unless they do something in Europe, and this is, you know, for them, I suppose it's a massive opportunity as well.
Yeah, a bit of a contrast as well, I suppose, in terms of the coaches. That, you know, Bradley's a relatively young coach. I think he's 35, he was telling me. And Pioli, who's the manager of Milan, is 54. He's one of the more kind of senior managers in the game. And we'll speak about him later. But I did speak to Graham Burke. I found this quite interesting because he was trying to explain, essentially, his revolving role in a team that also involves Jack Byrne. And that was probably the centerpiece of the chat that we had here, which was brief, but I thought a little bit illuminating.
Stephen Bradley just talking about you there. He was saying when he signed you, there's no point playing you in a position that doesn't suit you. And just thinking of your time at Preston and all that, are you in a football club now that kind of is more tailored to your talents?
I think in the way that I like to play, you know, in that sort of way. I think the way we play, free-flowing football and expansive. You know, obviously here, the last time I played is in number 10. But obviously that's Jack's position, you know. So for me then it was, how can I fit into the team where it doesn't take away from what I do? I don't think I play the same sort of way that I did before, because it's a different sort of freedom. You have a different sort of position. You don't have the freedom that you sort of do. So for me, it's more concentrated on trying to score goals, trying to be in the box, not being as deep, where maybe when I first played it, I was coming a little bit deep into maybe check spaces and all that. So for me, it was kind of just getting the hang of it, but I think I have the hang of it now, as in staying close to green or running in behind, getting it, giving it, and getting myself into the box and trying to get chances. I've had a lot of chances since I've come back in the lockdown, and I've only scored one here in Europe, but I think I should have a lot more, because I started the season brilliantly, but I got a little calf injury that kept me out, and then obviously lockdown comes and you have the whole weight of lockdown, and then I injured my ankle against that loan. I wasn't too sure if I was going to get the restart, so I got minutes in Finn Harps and Derry, and then I got back against Patch, you know, but in them games I've had a lot of chances, which for me is disappointing, because even though I class myself as a number 10, I'm driven on scoring goals.
Yeah, a few of us tipped you to be top scorer at the start of the season. You got 5 goals against Cork, and yeah, we were already collecting our money, and you haven't scored since.
No, that's the disappointing thing, you know. You think as a footballer, did I waste them all just in one game, you know? But
very unlucky against Cork with that shot, obviously, at the weekend.
Yeah, I hit the post against Cork boys. I had, like, chances against Shells and Pats, you know. Not clear-cut chances, but chances you still like to think that you can finish, but obviously I know that is in, I've got the 5, and you know, I think it might have dried up from then, like, but listen, I take that every night of the week to score 5 in one game, and to hold that on a personal level to say that you've done that. But yeah, listen, it's a bit disappointing that I haven't scored goals, but I'm happy with where my game is at, kind of, is in all round.
Yeah, on that, how do you think you're playing individually this season?
I think I've been fine. Obviously, I think people have judged me more on goals, and when you score goals, you might not play well in a game and score a goal, and people think, think scored, you know, a Graham scored or whatever, but, you know, or you might play well in a game, 4 or 5 games and not score, and then people look at it and say, well, obviously, chipped him or whatever to be top goal scorer or whatever, and he hasn't or whatever, you know, people think, oh, he's not playing as well because he's not scoring them. But it's all around things of footballer, like, you know, you have good games and you'll have bad games, but is in overall I'm quite happy. It's just the goals, I haven't scored as many goals as I would have liked.
Can you cause Milan problems finally?
it's going to be a hard, very, very hard task, but listen,
you must be buzzing for it, like.
Yeah, of course, as in a personal, as in the whole group, like the games that you want to be playing in, and you know, and if you can get excited for games like that, there's something wrong being a footballer. So, as in, listen, the surface, the new boards that they have around the place looks brilliant, and you know, it's just a shame that none of the fans can be here to witness and cheer us on.
Yeah, so it was from one playmaker straight into another here in the shape of Jack Byrne. Yeah.
Now joined by the great Jack Byrne. What's the story, Jack?
All right, Johnny boy.
Yeah. Thanks for coming over. We're just talking to the best player Rovers have, and now it's time for you, because it's from Berkey to you. He's some talent, isn't he?
Yeah, Berkey's top player. He's been brilliant for us since he came back. I think he's took us on to another level. Up that end of the pitch. Yeah, he's a top player, and he's a great bloke as well. And I think his goal in Europe here just shows the quality that he has. And obviously getting 5 in one game against Cork, I think he's still top goal scorer in the Blading League from
him. Yeah, we were giving out to him there, though, because we were tipping him to be top scorer. He got 5 and he hadn't scored since.
Yeah, no, yeah. I think he got cold feet ever since he got 5 in one game, but we forgive him for that one.
Some ways he doesn't get the kind of coverage you do, but like he's obviously a sensational talent as well.
No, I think he does. He's the one that got the 400,000 quid move to Preston, like, you know what I mean? So I don't think there's anyone that, you know, doesn't think that Graham Bourke is a top player in this league. I think everybody thinks he is. I speak to anybody, you know, on the other teams, and they always think Bourke is, you know, massive threat, and he is. He's a top player. He's obviously got his move. He feels more comfortable back here. He's come back here to play for Rovers. Nothing wrong with that either. And you know, I'm sure he could kick on again and be up and around the international squads for sure.
He was talking about fitting into the team with you, and he sees himself as a 10 and you're there. How long has it taken for that to kind of gel or work?
Yeah, well, I just think we play 2 10s, really, you know. I mean, I think we just try and get on the ball, and you know, see the cup final, I think it was probably our best performance, the two of us together, and we were working hard for the team, and I think we controlled that game from start to finish, and you know, a lot of our pressing and our good play came from me and Borky pressing up high the pitch and winning the ball back. So, you know, I think we could certainly fit in a team together. I don't think that's a problem, you know what I mean? I think if he wants to go deep, we go higher. If he wants to stay high, we just drop a little bit deeper. So it's some games are different. Every game's different, you know what it's like. You've got to just try and figure it out on the pitch, but no, he's certainly a top player, and he can probably play most positions on the pitch.
How do you find matches like Thursday yourself? Because you're taking on a totally, totally different level. You played obviously in the Netherlands at a similar level, but how does this appeal to you?
Yeah, you're obviously excited. Like, you know, you want to see how we do against the top team, and you know, we obviously feel as if we're doing really well this year, and we're playing well, and this is what we've been working for a while. So, you know, this is something that we. You know, we're looking forward to. We want to test ourselves against the best teams, and it's not often that AC Milan come to Ireland and play against an Irish side. So, I know you see it in competitive in pre-season friendlies, you know, Chelsea and the likes of that coming over and playing balls, but it's not the same. It's completely different. Look, we're looking forward to seeing how we get on, and no doubt will be a good occasion.
Do you feel pressure on your own shoulders in a match like this?
No, pressure is for brass straps and tyres.
There'll be a lot of spotlight on you, I suppose, and your brass strap.
Yeah, listen, it's just one of those things. I'm not putting myself on that pressure to go out there, Johnny, and think that I need to go and score a hat trick against AC Milan for people to talk about. You know, it's not realistic. You can't do that every week. You know, I mean, the best players in the world don't do that every week. So for me to you know, just keep doing what I'm doing and just try and plug away at it and just keep going and consistently play well is the most important thing. I can't be thinking, oh, well, you know, we can go out and have a good game against AC Milan and then not play well against Waterford on Monday night. It's not like that. So, you know, obviously it would be great for myself and for my own confidence and going forward if we could have a good game. But you know, you don't know. You could go out and not touch the ball for 90 minutes, or you could go out and have the ball for the whole 90 minutes. You just don't know what way football's going to go. So look, I'll be prepared, and I'll prepare my best to try and go out and play well and do well. But you know, we'll just try and do what the game demands of me when it comes.
Well, on that, you're going to have to do a lot of work off the ball here, like, and so will Graham Burke and so will everyone, because a lot of the time you're not going to have the ball.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's a problem really with us. I think we all work hard, you know. I mean, I think we're a hard working team. You're seeing down in Cork on Saturday, we pressed really well. We probably, you know, got our second goal from pressing. So you know, we can certainly mix it. I think against Bowles here, we showed a different side of our game where we set back and we soaked up the pressure and we worked hard in our shape to get a big win for the club. So look, it's not all about, you know, having the ball and you know, controlling the game. Sometimes you're going to be up against it, and we may well be on Thursday. We might be up against it, but we'll certainly have the ball for patches of the game. So we need to be ready when them times in the game come.
How's your back?
Yeah, it's alright. Yeah.
Yeah, you've this season's been probably not quite at your best, because you seem to be holding your back at times, and Brad's are obviously referenced it.
Nah, look, I think I'm playing well. I think I'm working hard for the team. No, it's different playing with no fans, and you know,
do you feel that? Yeah.
Yeah, I think I started to say, isn't that, look, if you say to me, I probably had 7 good games of many every player, 12. Mm. I'd probably take that. Do you know what I mean? Over the course of a season, if you play 36 games and you have 25 good ones and 6 average ones and 5 bad ones, you take that. So. Mm. You know, I don't mind that. It's different for everybody, I think, playing with no fans, and some of the games where we might have played in, you know, nil all games where we might not have been at our best. Maybe not like the 3-2 games we played against Dundalk, or the Sligo games, or the 5-0 against Cork. Sometimes you just have, you know, bad weeks, and you just don't. It's just not clicking, or it's not flowing, as you're trying to force the issue. But I'm happy with how I'm playing, and I'm happy with how I'm going. And we know if I keep performing like this, you know, if I keep doing well, keep working hard for the team, I know if, you know, there can be times in games where I'm unplayable, and there's times in seasons where I can be unplayable. I believe in myself where I know that. So we know when it clicks, and if it does click, once I'm working hard for the team, doing my job for the man job, when it clicks for me individually, you know, I think I just kick on again, and it just happens.
I'm not trying to put down England, but like, you're not going to get the chance to play AC Milan when you're at the likes of Oldham or that, and that's one of the things about being at a League of Ireland club.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's obviously an unbelievable occasion to draw AC Milan in the Europa League, and look, I've obviously played in big games before, but you're right, like, when you're in the lower leagues over there, you don't get these occasions. But you know, it's just something that I'm looking forward to, and something that I probably never thought would have happened. Like, you know, since I've been at the club, I never thought we would have drawn an AC Milan in the Europa League. You can say, yeah, you think it might, but you know, you just don't think it's going to happen. But look, you have to take the AC Milan out and try and approach the game 11-11 and try and see where we can hurt them. And yeah, but you don't really get these occasions when you are in the lower leagues over there.
Can you hurt them? You mentioned like their weaknesses. Your set pieces have been massive in Europe. Obviously, Pico Lopez scoring again the last day. That's maybe some area that you're on a level playing field.
I just think that we can, you know, we have to play to our strengths and play to our advantage and just try and, you know.
No fear?
No, just, yeah, obviously you're going to have a bit of fear, you know what I mean? You can't go out no fear and be open and expansive and, you know, all the time and leave yourself open to get hit by 5 or whatever. So you need to play the game properly. You need to, you know, you obviously need to have fear that when you lose the ball, you need to get back in your shape quick, because they're top players and they can hurt you. Even when you are in your shape, they can hurt you. So, yeah, there is a bit of fear there, but there's a bit of fear when you play most teams that you need to be on it, you know. Especially when you're 8 points clear at the top of the table, you don't want to slip up once and give somebody a sniff to get back at you, because we've done that last year. Like, so we probably are going into most games, you know, with a bit of fear and thinking, let's just get this over the line. But it's obviously different on Thursday, because you're obviously playing against such a top team.
Well, it's funny, if they're doing opposition analysis, if they, you mark down as somebody now that they have to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I think it'd be strange saying they're centre halves watching clips on Green and running in behind Wilder. But look, it's funny. It's
you've done well against good teams in Europe, though. It's not. You shouldn't be underestimated.
No, I don't think so. I think you know, Limassol last year would have been, you know, playing Europa League all the time, and you know, AC Milan are obviously a top side, but we have to go out and think that, you know, it's not just show up and roll over. You can never think like that in any game. So look, strange things have happened in football, and you see results pop up all the time where you never thought that would happen. So we just need to go out and be ready in case they do have an off night.
Are you the type to sleep badly the night before a game like this, or you'd be happy enough?
Nah, I would sleep like a baby, Johnny. Yeah.
Well, you're living in a good place. How's Jackie Byrne? That's the main question.
Jackie's alright. Yeah. She's grand. I'm sick. She won't be here on.
Yeah, it is regrettable, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Like, you know, but obviously you'd love to have family members here. I think that's obviously the fans and stuff. But for personal, you know, personal self, family members, and you know, big games like this. Look, you know, for instance, my debut for the Ireland, like big games. Your family there. It's a special moment that you can share with them. Obviously had a massive game on Thursday night for the club, and you know, obviously coming off the pitch, you would love your family there, but look, it's not to be, and you know, hopefully we can you know, get back to some sort of normality soon enough.
I know. Are you pretty content in life now? You're at Rovers a while, did you say?
Yeah, I'm happy out and just, you know, continue my everyday life. I have a good family around me, good friends, and you know, I just going in, playing my football, going home, and you know, I'm happy, and you know, hopefully I'll have a league title and a good cup run this year. But you know, still a lot of work to be done, but that's the goal.
Where are you as a player in terms of your potential yourself? Because you haven't had an awful long run of actually playing football really yet.
I think the break has kind of killed a lot of people's momentum and maybe stopped mine for a few weeks. But I feel a bit better now. I feel a bit fitter. I feel a bit sharper. You need the legs. You need the games in the legs, you know, 4 or 5 games, then you start to see where you're at again, you know what I mean? So I've had that now, I've had a good base, you know, ready to kick on again, and I feel as if I have an awful lot more to give. I think I've shown that when I've played, and you know, people that'll come and watch me play will have their own opinion on me, but, you know, I think more people than not can say that, you know, I probably do have more potential, and it's not because I'm not working hard. I am working hard, and I know that, you know, when opportunities come to, you know, play at higher levels, I know I can definitely take them if they are there. But you know, whether that's in Europe for the club or whatever, I know I'll definitely be ready to take them anyways.
Would you know many of the Milan players actually?
I know Brahim Diaz. I played with my Man City. He's obviously on loan there from Real Madrid, so. And Abraham, nice kid. I'm looking
good
forward
player.
To seeing him. Yeah, he's a top player. Yeah, good player. So I'm looking forward to seeing him and seeing how he's getting on, because it's been a few years now. Look.
Just finally, doesn't seem to be any like inferiority conflicts about Rovers. You're going to go out there and believe you can do something there.
I think so. Like, I think that's most games. You know what I mean? There's no point in going out there and thinking we're playing AC Milan. What's the point? And may as well not show up. Do you know what I mean? So it's just one of those things that you need to be confident. You need to believe in your own ability, and you need to try and give a good account of ourselves for the club and just see where it takes us.
Weasel going to celebrate a goal on Thursday, maybe?
Hopefully, Johnny. That's the dream, bud.
Top man.
Thanks.
What did you make of that interview, Dan? He was definitely keen to stress that his back was fine. I mean, that's something that has been mentioned. For me, he's looked like he's been carrying a bit of an injury there in some respects in some games. Maybe he's grand now, but it was pretty cool to get an interview of that length with Jack, because, you know, he's a pretty special talent. He's actually quite an intriguing character as well in these interviews.
Yeah, no, I know he touched on it at the end, like, you know, his confidence about his ability to play in this type of game. And again, like, there's no doubt what Jack is, you know, coming up towards his mid-20s territory now. And like, he has lost, like, you know, with the pandemic, like, certain players have lost important times of their career, and I actually think he's someone who started off with like massive expectations from this year and was in a great position, and we could see it with the Rovers and Dundalk game. Like, he was flying that night and he was superb, and I remember before the game, it's almost like a different time now, talking about, you know, Friday night under the lights, that's when I sort of come to life. And there's no doubt that he does, and I don't think, you know, it's far removed, you know, Friday night under the lights, 7,000 people there, and Jack rising above it to produce something to, I think, you know, close doors football, you know, in a 5 o'clock in the afternoon game, no crowd, and, you know, you hear things, you know, it's a sort of an expressive character if things aren't going well, or you just get the sense that I don't think he's necessarily been in like just peak Jack form the last while. And I think I don't know, I'm projecting a small bit, but I wonder, is there a small bit of deflation that this was going to be such a huge year for him, and all of a sudden now it's a bit flat. He didn't make the Ireland squad, but that's why I think this game is brilliant for him. I think it's an absolute incredible opportunity that to make up some of the lost time that he's had in terms of even just people talking about him and being aware of him, because I think he was set up to really have a brilliant January to, or you know, February to July. I think there might have been something around his contract where if there had been an approach in July, there would have been a clause there that, you know, would have triggered it if someone had met it. I'm not sure exactly where that stood, but there was certainly, you know, Shawnee Maguire left before in July after a similar sort of run, and I think Jack probably had the opportunity to go and do that, and he's lost that a bit. But now you're playing Milan, you know, and it's the type of game, I think, Europe, I don't think he's really, maybe the last game against the Finnish team, maybe didn't see too much because of the stream issues, but I don't sense it was like a vintage display. But every other game in Europe last year, he played brilliantly. And I think the type of game that it's going to be, I think it gives him a real opportunity to just remind people where he is, you know, and what he can do. So it might just galvanize him. Yeah, of course, there's going to be a bit of spark even there where he's, you know, well, has there been anything wrong with you? And he's a small bit defensive about explaining where he's been. And that's, of course, like, it's a big time in his career. Let's be honest. Like, he'll know that. You know, he doesn't need to be told that. And, you know, if there's every chance come the end of the year, there's going to be a decision to be made about where he goes and what he does. And you can be pretty sure that any club that's thinking about him, they're going to look at the list of available games on Y Scout or whatever. They'll be looking at Rovers Milan first and foremost to see how he got on. So it's a big one for him.
Yeah, you know, Aaron Green, when you look at the goal he got in Cyprus last year and the work rate he puts in Europe, he is big. But you'd imagine with Rovers, like, Rovers are, they're a rare thing in being an Irish club, that they've two players that really have massive, massive ability to do something out of the ordinary. And the other one is Graham Burke. And, you know, some of the goals he's gotten in Europe, pretty spectacular. And I just got the feeling, Dan, he's from the interview, he is going there absolutely full of confidence, even if he hasn't scored in the league since that Cork game earlier in the season.
Yeah, like, you know, and he touched on that he probably had a couple of injury issues coming out of the break and it wasn't ideal for him. But the type of players they have, and it's funny, at times in league games where their, you know, their teams are sat in against them a bit, again, like, sometimes it does look like they have a number 10 too many at times, and even some of the positions they're taking up, but maybe, you know, in
there's
this
two ways
game
of looking
here,
at that as well, Dan, in that I've kind of been thinking of this as well. Okay, it's not ideal having two players that are kind of alike, but they're very, very good at holding on to the ball and making runs and doing the actual thing that is good in football, namely passing the ball very well, looking for it, and doing a bit of, you know, having skills that other players don't have. So I guess there are negatives and positives in that regard.
Yeah, like, but I think in this type of game, you know, they both can drop deep and get involved. And at times, you know, in league games, you'd be thinking, you know, they're going nowhere here. But actually, in this type of game, maybe where they might need to take the sting out of it at times, who knows? You know, they could actually be. Because Rovers are going to have to be really disciplined, you know, in that midfield area as well. There's actually going to be a lot of responsibility, I think, even on Gary O'Neill and McAniff, presuming they play. You know, that they're going to have to be mindful of, say, if Zlatan plays, you know, is he going to be dropping deep? And there's a lot of questions are going to be asked of them that aren't normally asked of them. But the way that this Rovers team plays, you think they will keep their composure. But you know what as well, too, and maybe we'll hear from your mate, Mark Doyle, to talk a bit more about Milan. But what we saw with Rovers against Bowes as well, too, is that they weren't afraid to be a bit more direct at times as well, too. And that's possibly no harm in this type of game at times. To mix it up a bit as well. I'm pretty sure we'll see them do a bit of that.
Yeah, here is Mark, a former colleague of mine back in the day in Santa, who's been living in Italy and is immersed in Italian football now, to give the Italian viewpoint, albeit with the Dublin accent, which you'll find has shades of Steve McLaren thrown in a bit of his Dutch-English accent as it goes on. But here's Mark anyway.
So it's got to be, he's cool, he's sexy, he's 38 years old. How are you, Doyler?
How's it going? I'm not too bad.
And, you feigned laughter there. I mean, we discussed this beforehand. I was going to do that. Like,
yeah, well, I didn't actually think you'd follow through with it. Well, I wish they were all true, but
Yeah, your deputy features editor at goal.com. And just briefly, because obviously we don't have that long, but you've been in Italy actually for quite some time now. We used to work together for Setanta, but you've basically, you owe your career at the moment to Italian football, which isn't too bad.
Yeah, pretty much. Moved over here about 10 years ago, trying to get into football after, yeah, covering various sports at Setanta. And yeah, thankfully it's worked out pretty well, because been pretty much covering football for Goal for the last 7 or 8 years, and right up to now when I've got an editorial role, so trying to push and promote Serie A as much as possible, because I actually do think it's on the way back a little bit.
Well, actually, on that, is so, what's it felt like? Because, you know, we grew up, remembering the Italian football on Channel 4 and the show that RT used to have. But it, like, I did feel, I've gone to a few games with you and a few mates that we used to have in Setanta, now air, obviously, back over the years. And you could kind of almost sense that decline.
Yeah, very much so. There's no getting away from it when it's not at the same level that it was at years ago during our misspent youths, when it was the centre of the football in the universe, and all the best players played here, and all the money was here. It's been usurped by La Liga and the Premier League in that sense. But there has been something of a resurgence led by Juventus, obviously, who've kind of re-emerged as a major European force over the last few years through pretty sound management. And they've kind of highlighted and given a pretty good example for the rest of Serie A to follow. And we're starting to see that now. And obviously in the last couple of seasons, we've seen Atalanta come to the fore and become like a pretty cool fairy tale to follow. And I think what we're seeing now, and we've also seen last season, is that Inter are very much back under Conte, if he can maintain stability there long enough. And Milan now, since the turn of the year in particular, are starting to look something resembling a top four side again, which they haven't been for a long, long time.
Which isn't good news for Shamrock Rovers, because it sounds like they might be getting them at, they could have been getting them at a better time over the last few years, I guess.
Very much so, very much so. It's been a club in pretty much a constant state of crisis for the last 2 or 3 years. Even last season, there was pretty much, there was a flat out civil war essentially between, on one side you had Paolo Maldini, whom we all pretty know, and Zvonimir Boban, two ex-players, two legends of the club, against Ivan Gazidis, the CEO that a lot of people will remember from his time at Arsenal. If you speak to Arsenal fans, they won't have too many fond memories of him. And basically, they were wrestling for control of the club, and Gazidis went out and pretty much lined up Ralf Rangnick as the brains behind Red Bull. He lined him up to take over, not only as coach, but also as the sporting director. He'd given him an unprecedented amount of power at San Siro to run the club as he saw fit. And he backtracked on that plan because Stefano Pioli, who came in, the coach, came in after a disastrous start to the season. They lost 4 of the first 7 games. They sacked their coach, Gianpaolo. And at that stage, the Milan project, with Maldini and Boban, seemed to be wavering. And Gazidis thought, okay, it's time for radical change. And he wanted to turn to Rangnick, who's obviously done these incredible things with Red Bull. And as the season wore on, the squad united. Pioli started to get them playing really, really well. They made a couple of shrewd signings during the January transfer window, which was Ibrahimovic, but also Simon Kjaer, who brought a lot of solidity to the defence. Ibrahimovic had an incredible effect. I think myself included, I kind of thought, okay, this is a sign of Milan's desperation, that they're really trying to roll back the years by signing a guy who's definitely past it. But he's actually, not only did he do well in Serie A, he got 10 goals and 5 assists, he actually proved a nice influence on the rest of the squad, because it's a really young Milan team. And that's one of the things I would like to stress, is that it's the youngest side in Serie A in terms of the average age. Under Pioli, they play a really intense, high-pressing game. They're all over the defenders, or any side that tries to play the ball out from the back. Milan really go after them. And I think it's telling. One of the most recent Opta stats I saw about Milan was that they had more shots in Serie A after turnovers than any other side in the league last season. So they really do attack you straight away, and they really do pile the pressure on.
That's interesting.
And that's possible because the side is so young. I mean, people are going to look at Ibra, and he's by far the most famous name on the team. But it is a side that, you know, is high energy, and it's been successful for them. Everybody talks about Atalanta. I would talk about Atalanta all day because they're just such a phenomenal story. But since the turn of the year, Milan have been pretty much playing at that kind of level. They've only Atalanta have racked up more points. Only Atalanta have scored more goals than Milan since in 2020. And post-lockdown, they were absolutely phenomenal. So they only finished sixth in the end, but that's because, as I alluded to earlier, they had such a bad start. It's a side that is definitely moving in the right direction. It's taking shape. They're making a lot of interesting signings in terms of young players as well, as we've seen recently with Sandro Tonali, is the new Pirlo, as they're calling him over here, even though he's a slightly different kind of player. But even the fact that Milan picked this guy up is evident that it's a club that people want to play for again, and that's happened. That we're seeing that for the first time in at least 5 or 6 years.
If you're Stephen Bradley, how do you approach this game with a view to somehow getting a result?
Well, it's tough because Milan have their belief back. They have a system. Pioli has them playing, working extremely hard. I think, you know, the personification of that would be, I know you're a big fan of your kind of lazy, laconic number 10s. And since the turn of the year, since Pioli moved Hakan Çalhanoğlu into the trequartista role after originally using him on the left wing, he's been a revelation. He was probably the best player in Serie A post-lockdown. He was constantly involved in goals, either scoring them or creating them. And this is a guy that previously was very inconsistent, was very frustrating, I suppose, as we always imagine number 10 should be in the classic sense of the word. But he's been a more industrious. He's a key part of the first press, let's say. So it's a difficult site. I would definitely try and stick someone on him because everything goes through him from an attacking perspective.
Over to you, Gary O'Neill, by the sounds of it.
Yeah. So they're gonna definitely play a 4-2-3-1. Ibrahimovic, he's been struggling with a doubt of late. He took a knock to his right leg, I think, and he's missed the last couple of friendlies. So how sharp he is, I'm not sure. Milan are worried about their sharpness as well. So right. I suppose if Shamrock Rovers will obviously try and get about them themselves and try and pressurise them. I mean, Maldini even admitted this week that they're a little bit afraid of this game because they know that the opposition have played so many competitive fixtures. Milan haven't played any competitive fixtures. They've looked okay in friendlies, but the opposition has hardly been stellar, you know. If Rovers can put some pressure on them, can get in amongst them, Milan are, yeah, the fitness will be an issue, particularly Ibrahimovic. And Ibrahimovic, as I was saying earlier on, is very much key in terms of holding the ball up, bringing other people into play. He's very, very unselfish in that regard for a guy who's considered so arrogant. He actually is an excellent, excellent team player.
And you got to evolve as you get older as well. Like,
yeah. And the other problem for Shamrock Rovers as well is that, okay, there's been a break. We're not quite sure physically where Milan are at. They're insisting they're not too bad. They've had four friendlies at this stage. They'll pretty much be at full strength. That's how seriously Milan are taking the game against Rovers. Romagnoli won't play, who's the captain. He's their best centre-half, definitely. And obviously, there's a little bit of a doubt over Ibrahimovic, but I expect him to play because he trained yesterday. Rebic, who had a great season last year after coming in on loan from Eintracht Frankfurt, he'll be missing. So he usually starts on the left wing. But they'll probably play Brahim Diaz, who's the Real Madrid loanee. So for more or less, this will be a full strength side. Tonali won't play, I don't think, because he only arrived last week and he isn't match fit yet. But it's going to be a very strong Milan side. So given the momentum, given the positivity around the club at the moment, it will be a really difficult. Yeah, it's a big ask for Rovers, even though they have the home advantage. And the other thing I will say, it is a one-off game. And as we know, anything can happen. And that's another element that Milan are worried about, that not only is it away from home, not only have they not, you know, played any competitive games yet, they are worried about the one-off element of it. So maybe Rovers can hopefully play on that kind of fear, that nervousness that Milan might have in the first game of the season.
I guess briefly as well, you know, we'd be accustomed to the sort of wavering indifference of the British clubs to the Europa League, but this does matter to Milan.
Very much so. Very much so. Because, I mean, there was even in Gazzetta yesterday, there was a column.
You have to get that in. I wanted this to be a video call, so you'd be there like James Richardson.
I know.
I wish I had that. Yeah. In the background.
A spritz and a gelato in front of me with the Gazzetta. But it was a guy called Sebastiano Vernazza, and he was basically pointing out that Milan's history is you know, is completely tied up in their European success. They're the second most successful side in terms of European Cups in Europe, and they haven't been involved in any European competition for, I think they even published the dates. They're literally counting down the days, 644 days, they said. And they were saying, okay, this is not the most prestigious game we're ever going to have. It's not the biggest match in our history, but it's a really, really important one. So, you know, we're talking about a team that hasn't been in the Champions League since 2013, 2014. Right. They were in the Europa League a couple of years ago, and they were knocked out in the group stage. They're very much seeing the Europa League as a chance to, you know, it's important for their brand, it's important for their reputation, but it's also important financially for them because coronavirus is hitting Italian clubs particularly hard because they can't obviously get any people into the stadia. And that's a major problem in Italy because they don't have the same level of TV deals that you do have in England or you do have in Spain as well. So they don't make as much money from TV rights and you know, international TV deals. So the Europa League is being taken very seriously in that they want to progress, they want to reestablish themselves. Like they've seen what Inter did last season. You know, they dropped down into Europa League and went all the way to the final. That was a big deal for Inter. And Milan would be very much very keen to follow suit. And that's why you're going to see a full-strength side. That's why you're going to see, I imagine, a pretty motivated side as well. And that's why I think it's going to be very tough for Rovers.
You've fallen in love with an Italian woman over there, but will the Italians watching this game fall in love with Shamrock Rovers on Thursday night?
I very much. You definitely didn't clear that question with me, but
will you be able to watch it actually?
I will. What do you think? And that you won't allow me to watch it?
No, game on TV. Jesus.
What are you inferring, Johnny?
She let you watch it actually.
She will.
Of course, her mother is a big Juve fan.
Well, she's very anti-Juve. Actually, she's an Inter fan. She absolutely despises Inter. She despises Milan and she despises Juve. Yeah, so I have to hear about that all the time. But no, they're aware. I kind of have close ties with a lot of affection for Rovers. Let's say, given I actually managed to pull on the jersey when I was about 17 years of age as well. Got played a few games during the summer for them and. And then, my uncle used to bring me to when Rovers were playing in Daly Mount all the way back in the day. They used to be, sponsored by Premier Dairies and the like. I used to get brought along to see the matches. So, I'll definitely be watching. And I really do hope, actually, they make a positive impression on the Italian audiences. People are definitely interested because people are interested in Milan and the whole project. And everybody in Serie A, and I think everybody in Italy wants to see a strong Milan. So they'll be drawn to the game for that reason. So I think it's an excellent chance for Rovers to make a positive impression, or Lo Shamrock, as they call them over here, which just makes me think of Le Big Mac from Pulp Fiction. But yeah, they're known as Lo Shamrock. So I'm hoping they people really do actually fall in love with them and get a lot of respect for them.
Thanks a million for your time and hopefully see you next month.
No worries. Cheers. I look forward to it.
Don't forget to visit lottoland.ie/sportsbook where you'll find all the odds and weekly special bets for the SSC Airtricity Premier Division. This week, Shamrock Rovers have been boosted from 20 to 25 to 1 to beat AC Milan in 90 minutes. I have to say, I hadn't actually looked at the odds for that game. And I'm a little bit disappointed that the Rovers are that big, but maybe that is the task. Based on 25 to 1, you can get. And that is a bet that will appeal to very, very optimistic people out there, or maybe people are Shamrock Rovers fans. They've also boosted a Dublin treble of Pats, Bows and Shells from 10s to 12s for this weekend's LOI action. Visit lottoland.ie/sportsbook.
So I have to say, Johnny, after listening to Mark there, possibly some of my optimism about Rovers' chances, like, possibly faded a small bit. I guess in the sense that I think a lot of people, you know, they look at the final score of the league table and they go, well, where did Milan finish last year? Well, they finished here. You know, they didn't have a great season. You know, they're at the start of the preseason. They might be vulnerable. But just listen to how he described that the maybe there's a bit of good vibes around them, that they were good post-lockdown, that they have a very young side. So they will be motivated for Europe because of they're not going to have the sort of the English view of the Europa League. It sort of makes you think that really one of the big things you're hoping is that there is that sort of bit of pre-season lethargic nature, complacency. But I'm not so sure if we can 100% expect that.
Yeah, I mean, you see clubs kind of being caught on the hop and all that. But for a start, I think Rovers probably, they're a bit of a name even in some respects, and they're not going to, you know, they've not done badly in Europe. They don't have to watch many videos to find that what Rovers did against the Cypriot team last year of that quality, Limassol, obviously was pretty damn decent. And they know that, you know, they can't take it lightly. But yeah, as you say, I haven't been following Italian football as deeply in recent years. And like you, I don't think there's going to be much complacency. I think Rovers are going to rely on their luck. It's funny watching back the RTE clip of Juve and Rovers there in the news, and they showed a great chance of Rovers. I don't know if it was a Dan Murray, I think it was. He flashed a header wide of the post, and I'd completely forgotten that. They were 1-0 down at the time that game against Juve, and they'd have to take their chances, I guess. But, you know, as you were saying as well, I think they have a technical quality that's way above average for this league. They've forgotten how to lose games. They've come out of a lot of narrow kind of skirmishes on the right side. And I just think they have the players to absolutely revel in this. Everyone from Ronan Finn, who we spoke to last week, was going to have a hell of a job on the right-hand side if he's playing, to Green up front, to Manis in goal, who's a lot of European experience. I think they'll relish it. They will know it's a bit of a free shot. They're not going to be expected to do anything. And I would reiterate, as much as there isn't going to be a crowd there, there's going to be a massive audience, and they will know that this is a big game. And even in Italy, I'd imagine they've been starved of football.
Yeah,
they'll be happy to watch it as well.
Yeah, I know there will be a massive audience, but there's no doubt that these games are still strange.
Yeah,
and you're getting more used to it. Like we'll see. Like I suppose the one thing is you saw even like some of the Irish players that were in pre-season, like Matt Doherty and Shane Duffy, and that like really struggled. But Milan have still had a couple of pre-season games, you know. So we'll see. Like, I mean, Bradley spoke about the high press, he spoke about playing through the press, which is obviously one of the big things if you're playing against the side that, you know, press is really high, which by the sounds of it, that Milan team like to do. That, you know, Rovers do have the players like Lee Grace and Joey O'Brien, presumably, you know, who are, you know, competent on the ball and they can play through it, and then chances might open up. And actually, it is funny. Like, I mean, Jack sort of joked about it, but it probably will be someone like Aaron Green who's going to, they're going to ask a lot of them to, when they want to mix things up a small bit and give them something to breed. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. It's still going to be good fun either way. I hope they start well. Like with all these games, even like, you know, even Rovers against Ilves, like, you know, they conceded a daft goal, which was actually a penalty that shouldn't have been. But even, I'm just saying that there's a bad history of like conceding early goals. Even that Rovers team 10 years ago was a great game plan team. But they would give away early goals in some of these European games. The MetLife, like, just it the whole game plan flips, you know. And these 90-minute games, it's about staying in it to some degree as well. Because if you get to 60, like a bit like Bowes in Hungary, you know, if you get to 60, all bets are off to some degree. But it's not the only game this week, we should stress. You know, hopefully we're talking about Rovers in the next round next week. But I guess that's probably a long shot. Whereas the flip side of that is we're probably expecting that Dundalk will still be in Europe next week. So they're in Andorra on Thursday.
Well, it's interesting. I know, sorry, Daniel, you mentioned they're playing Inter-Club the Scal days, but the Dundalk are still going into this game with so many questions hanging over them, the way they defended against Shells. You were at that game. What do you make of it?
Yeah, well, hear briefly from Filippo Giovagnoli. This is a group interview afterwards where you spoke about a couple of things. But, you know, it was strange because I think the first 15, 20, they played with a real sort of intensity. And you're thinking, God, you know, like, not that they're back, but that there was definitely a bit more life there than you'd seen in maybe some of the early games post-lockdown, where obviously a lot of stuff going on, but even just they were a bit predictable. Whereas you definitely see that he's trying to do some different things, you know, that the fullbacks, it was actually Sean Hoare who was picked, and Dara Leahy with Massey injured, they were pressed really on. Shields was dropping back between the centre halves, but they were really like, they had a real sort of open, let's play it out, let's try and do things a particular way. And when it worked, like, it looked really good. And even the positions then, the Kolovic and Duffy, like, were both able to cut inside and link play a bit better. And there was really good passages, I have to say. And then the flip side is that defensively, you know, from set pieces, they almost looked like conceding from every set piece. I know Shells are strong on them, but every time Shells got an opportunity, you're thinking something's going to happen here. and there was a few hairy moments late on. But actually, as a starting point for like a second game or a first proper game, really, in terms of having had time to work with them for a new manager, I was surprised that you saw more of an imprint. You know, that you could see that this manager has had a has had an impact, that he's doing things his way. Now, I think, you know, better teams will find out how his way works. But after the game, there's a bit of a group interview, and here's just a section of it which touched on the contractual situation on a couple of his players, and also a bit about the game against what is a very experienced Inter club and Andorra team.
I think you said during the week in another interview that maybe you wouldn't be offering input on contracts for players, that the players that are out of contract. Like, someone like Michael Duffy is exceptional tonight, man of the match, but his contract is up at the end of the season. Is this something that you can look to address in any way in the short term?
I think that the club is going to make sure that the best players, they stay, but it's something that I didn't talk about it with the club yet. I came in, I don't know what is the situation with the contract. I have just to check what the players they do in the field, and this is what the club asked me. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to discuss about that later. But now the important objective are so close, so I can't think much on what is going to be the future.
But I agree that those players will have other clubs onto them, though.
Oh, no, yeah, for sure. I think that the club, they are not stupid. They know who are the players important, and I think they're going to make sure that they're going to stay.
Have you got a chance to chat to the chairman since the game was over tonight?
I didn't talk with the chairman.
No,
I didn't talk with him yet. I don't know, maybe he's going to call me later. I hope they are happy.
How happy are you in terms of, obviously you've had two games, you've also had your 2 week period off now with the international break last week. How close are you to where you feel you need to be, especially looking ahead to Thursday? In Europe, in recent years, the performances and the results have tailed off a little bit.
How close I am, you are asking?
Where the team needs to be.
Oh, well, I think that they progress really I didn't expect this kind of progressions, this kind of understanding of the style that we want to play. They are really fast. They are professional players. And they pick things really fast. And even tonight, I saw many good things. And I saw also things that are not working yet. But we're going to keep going. We're not going to give up in what we believe.
Just on Thursday's game in Europe, you went to that game as a heavy favourite. Like, is the squad or yourself that feel any sort of pressure coming into that game on Thursday night?
Well, this is what maybe the media think. This is what maybe people think. I mean, I know who we are now, but I think that, I don't know if you know their team well, but it's a team that is really expert. If you don't play an intense game, if you don't play at the level that we can play, it's going to be complicated if you play like they do, because they are really expert. They are players that they play, they are 36, 35, 38, you know, and they are experts. So we have to have a really good performance. Sure.
You clearly, your fullbacks were pushed up quite high tonight. Was that something you had worked on with Dara and Sean, just
yeah,
to take those positions?
It's something that we are trying to implement, you know, but this is to create space. It's something that we do to create space. And we are working on it. It's not, of course, perfect yet, but we start to do some rotations, some movement, create space to have the ball in behind, to the pressure. But it was not easy because Shelbourne performed. They were covering the film really well. So it's a really complicated game.
Yes, spot the journalist there, Dan. You're asking the hard questions of Giovanni. Has he been on to the chairman? You know, all the tough questions where my
scumbag
kind of,
hacks.
Yeah.
Scumbag hacks.
My sycophantic interview with the Rovers, lads.
Do you ever notice on all these, like his Dream Team and all these shows, or actually any TV show, like the journalist character is always portrayed as some kind of lowlife,
yeah,
like driving around,
look good.
Driving around with a camera in his boot, you know, waiting to like
possibly
suffer some misfortune, or shouting inane comments with a notepad, like, or something, you know, tell me something, you know, or even any political dramas, we all look terrible. You know,
welcome
terrible,
to LOI
but,
Weekly.
But as opposed to you, who comes into it a bit more like, well, he's just come off a bike ride and he's lying on the grass. That's what some aspects of the game aren't for you, son.
This,
you know, you need to be there with your notepad, screen, you know, finding out where Bradley goes in these bike rides and following him, you know?
Just briefly, though, this is a potential banana skin. It's a point that I would make many times. No Irish club has earned any right to take a club for to take them for advantage in Europe, because it just doesn't happen that way yet. And this is a potential banana skin.
Well, the average age of... So I spoke to Shane Keegan after as well. He said the average age of the Andorra side is 33.
Wow.
Average age. I mean, we might even fit in to that group, you know, and not be too old. So the centre half, Ildefons Lima, is, I think, 40 or 41. He was the player, I don't know if you remember, it was you in your early days in DCU, so you were probably in, like, the bookies or the pub. But he was the guy who, when Andorra took the lead at Lansdowne Road in 2001, he was the guy who scored. So Andorra led for around 10 minutes. And so I looked at the entire Irish team that played that day, have like retired from football, like completely, you know. It's all the pundits that, you know, the Gary Breens and Kenny Cunningham. Roy Keane didn't play in that game, but like Ildefons played in that game. And in fact, I think he's been bantering with some of the Dog fans on Twitter about this. And then 9 years later, the first ever game in the Aviva Stadium, Andorra also scored. And the winger Martinez played in that game. That was a game where I think Kevin Doyle scored a cracker. Our good mate, the recently married Kevin Caban, scored in that game too. But again, a lot of that Irish team have drifted out of the game. You know, they're retired now. But these Andorrans, they obviously have a very small population, and they're all still going. They're like these lads who rock up to Astro that still have
They've definitely one of the highest. They've one of the highest, if not the highest, age expectancy in the world because of the clean air and I guess the relative wealth. They also have an unbelievably good national anthem, but I guess that's for another day. I won't be whistling it to some drunken Andorran like I was in Azerbaijan last year.
Let's hope not. But they have a couple of
two kebabs, and we won't mention what the other journalists did as well.
We won't mention. Well, that, you know, nothing bad, Johnny. You've left that like a bit vague. You know,
you bought two kebabs, one after the
two
other.
Kebabs. Yeah. Anyway, listen. What stays in Baku or something? Whatever that expression is.
Yeah.
But the point is that these are, again, I mentioned Streetwise earlier in the context of Rovers, but these guys, there's quite a few of them still involved with the Andorran national team. They lose a lot of games, but they don't get hammered in a lot of games either. So I suspect that this will be pretty tight. Now, I think if Dundalk, you mentioned their average age, like if Dundalk play at a tempo with real energy, like you'd think, you know, they should be good enough, but it's by no means a gimme at all. Definitely. I sort of agree with you. They're streaming it live, for free, Dundalk, so it will be available for everyone to watch. But it's, you know, I think it's, I've been in that stadium before. It's like a tight venue, you know, the playing surface, although I suppose the dog could be used to sort of quirky playing surfaces, but it's just, I fancy them to do it. I fancy them, haven't seen them actually on Friday. I think they look like they're going to create chances, which is what they possibly hadn't been doing in European games, to like, it, you know, with great regularity. I know they had chances against Celje, to be fair, but again, I think they'll create more in this. But it'll be a tight one. But hopefully we'll be coming back to it next week.
Yeah.
Again, at least they're winning the league. We should mention as well, I mean, that they are in a battle in theory for third in the league.
There's no theory about it. Absolutely.
Is it a battle? I will say, I haven't seen them last week. You know, like, I mean, Bowes lost to Waterford. Like, I mean, if Dundalk actually click and perform, there's every chance they could still finish second either.
Like, they're the most talented team of the remainder, and they really should finish second. But there are so many personnel changes at the moment, and players who are probably kind of who are out of favour now in favour. And, you know, I just, as you were saying, just feel really alarmed at some of their defending. It could still all unravel. I'll just mention the scores before we get to it. Dundalk were actually the only team of the five home teams to score in the Premier Division last weekend. Shock result there, although I know Waterford have been doing well. We talk about John Sheridan's departure, but to win 2-0 in Bowes and kind of wrap it up at half time was quite notable. Cork 0, Rovers 3. I don't know if any of you watched that game, but I mean, these sort of mismatches are actually no good for anyone, really. And it's, thankfully, there hasn't been that many of them in the league this season. Pats 0, Sligo 0, much better from Pats, just couldn't score. I think that's six in a row they haven't scored in. Hearts 0 all with Derry, mixed kind of reviews of that game. Didn't sound great, to be fair. In the first division, lots of goals. Cavan Teely won at Lone 1. Cavan Teely's season derailing a little at the moment. Galway United, last minute, Kevin Farragher winner against Shamrock Rovers. The main Kevin in that game was Kevin Zeffie, who was...
Please, contain your excitement on both those counts. We can. I know how you feel, but I mean,
Galway United player said to me after the game he was unplayable, which is great because he was 15. Imagine being 30 and playing against a lad half your age, you couldn't get the ball off. Wexford 1, Bray Wanderers 2, Cove Ramblers 0, UCD 6, Longford 1, Drogheda 1. Dan, John Sheridan, he's there and now he's gone.
Yeah, I suppose he a brief
and he did not call it a pub league.
Short-lived fling. No, he says he did not. And he says, you know, I mean, people might have heard his explanation, but he said he was speaking to one of the players. I think it was Ali Coote, suggesting he was playing like a pub league player. And he, you know, John Sheridan is pretty sarcastic and harsh on his players on the sideline. And I mean, that version of events is pretty plausible as well. I don't know what, we don't know what happened, but it's he certainly was pains to stress that he meant no disrespect. He obviously meant disrespect in other ways that night when he couldn't remember of any parts or didn't remember who he was. But there's no doubt he made his mark here. And to be honest,
I loved him in the league. I thought it was great.
Strip away all the stuff. He did a great job. You know, they beat Bowes well last week. And they probably are.
Very nearly beat Dundalk away.
European contenders, they should have really. If they hadn't been then reduced to 10, they might have. And that was without Brian Murphy. And they've still got Daryl Murphy to come in. So now I know, like this, and the club itself is probably still has dysfunctional aspects to it, and you know there's stuff around, you know, the doctor leaving and all that stuff. Like, it's been a weird old time there, and you still don't know where Waterford are going long term, but they definitely have a good bunch of players, and we will revisit it. The one thing I should actually mention before we finish as well, this bizarre scenario, I really feel for Cork this week, that this, whether this Cork Dundalk game takes place on Sunday is dependent on whether Dundalk win in Andorra. Like, I know where it's coming from. I know where it's coming from, but like, and it's to do with, I think, the Dundalk's travel time going to Moldova if they get through.
Andorra, yeah.
But I just, I don't know. I'm not so sure about this. Like, I think, I know the Rovers game at Waterford has been moved to Monday, and certainly, you know, I presume the Dundalk v Rovers next week will have to be called off as well if the Dundalk win and get through. And they're probably going to face some kind of logjam with fixtures. But I think for Cork, who are battling for their lives, I'm not sure if they should be finding out that late in the day, you know, if their game goes ahead or not. It just doesn't seem right to me, really. Like, in the pandemic time, we're all fixture congestion is a bit more of a concern than it normally would be. And I think, I don't think that's right. But I think, hopefully we have that to discuss next week, because that means that, you know, that there's a team still in Europe. It's going to be a controversy.
Yeah. Cork have a serious battle on their hands, and you'd have to respect Neil Fain has a very difficult job. His managerial reputation, if not hinging on this, is it's definitely going to have a role to play his first big job, so you'd have sympathy for them there. Before we go, I'd just like to thank Shamrock Rovers today for accommodating LOI Weekly. It was a little bit of a mad press conference with obviously COVID regulations and all that, so it was certainly a bit unusual, but you know, thanks to Mark Lynch for helping us with those interviews, and thanks to the lads for being free with their time. Our thanks also to sponsors Lottoland. You can dream big for your Euro Millions and Irish Lotto betting. Check out the top SSC or Tristy League and European qualifier game markets. Lottoland.ie/sports. So before we wrap up, Dan, when are you back, and what are you going to take in the kingdom before it's all over?
Oh no, I'm coming back up the road tomorrow, Johnny. Wednesday, I have to be back for Tala on Thursday. So I don't know. Might take in some sights on the way home, but no, it's a great part of the world. But gotta get back to work.
Yeah,
so
I'd happily welcome.
We'll see you Thursday.
Happily welcome League of Ireland team moving to Kerry at some stage, or one taking over there. Thanks very much for listening, and we'll see you Thursday, Dan, and we'll talk the rest of you next week.
But there are limits.